This is the operator. I just need to remind all parties this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you. Sorry, Mason, just for the recording, I'm just going to say who's on the call this evening. We have Mason Cole, Steve Holston, and from staff we have Ken Bauer, Julie Headland, Scott Pinson, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And if I could just remind you, please to state your names when you speak just for recording and transcript purposes. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Gisela. All right. Hello, everybody. Thanks for making time for the call, as usual. I sent out an agenda earlier today. Really, the main focus of the agenda is just a task review. Ken and Scott have the bulk of the agenda today. Hopefully, Helen and Zbinek can join up and give us a review of their task as well. But before we start, is there anything else that needs to be added to the agenda that I didn't include?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's dive right in. Ken and Scott, would you like to lead off, please?
Yeah, this is Ken. I'd be happy to. So I think everybody knows by now, but and Rob Hogarth, who is really our OSC policy liaison, would really have preferred to have been on the call to do this particular task, but alas, he is meeting with our CEO at a luncheon today here in D.C., in the D.C. area, so he asked if I would do it, and so I am happy to do it. All of you by now know that Scott Pinzon, who is has been hired as the ICANN Policy Staff Communications Director, which is a position that has been vacant for some time, and in fact, I think the title may be newly created just for him. But he has a great background in a lot of the issues that ICANN deals with, and he's taking responsibility for all of the different communications areas that relate to policy, like all of these policy updates and that sort of thing. And in addition, he has background and expertise in this whole area of website development and design, and since he's really going to be owning this project for the long term, it made sense for him to take and shepherd it forward. And so that's what he's going to do and has already started. I've transitioned a lot of the materials over. He's already talked to Chris Chaplow, and I think he's got a conversation scheduled for tomorrow. I'm not sure, Steve, if you and Scott have had a chance to connect, but you will in short order. So with that introduction, the other point I wanted to make is that I'm going to continue in a supportive capacity on the team as long as I'm making a contribution. And Scott and I we talk several times a day related to issues concerning this project. So I hope that continues. And with that, I guess I'd like to turn it over to Scott, and then he's going to cover some of the activities that have happened recently since he's been on the scene. So Scott, it's all yours, bud.
Thank you very much, Ken. And thank you to the team for welcoming me. I'm really pleased that my first experience working with the GNSO gets to be with one of the best-run work teams in the whole deal here. You guys have done great work and gotten a lot done. So
I don't know where you got that idea, Scott.
Well, from the fantastic business requirements document that already existed for the web page when I came along.
That has been well done. You're right.
So the transition is largely a formality because I want to just continue working with your team and with Ken. It's already going well, so my main goal is not to screw it up. So we have made some progress. Ken and I met on July 9th and 10th with Mark Salvatore, who is ICANN's senior web developer, and started really talking in depth about how we can move forward on improving the GNSO website. And it's important to note that there's two aspects to this. There is making everything work on the back end with the servers and all that so that, technically it works. And then the other aspect is the front end where we decide where things should go. There are 1,378 files on the GNSO website, and depending on who you talk to, almost all of them are in the wrong place right now. So that's the front-end task. Our goal is to migrate all that content from a static state into a dynamic state. So I don't know what everyone's understanding is. Mason, would it be appropriate for me to explain the difference between static and dynamic website? Or
yeah, actually, I was just about to ask you that, so yes, please.
Okay. Currently, the gnso.icann.org is a static site, and basically what that means is that all the content is placed there manually, kind of acts the way you might be used to acting with a word process document. So, you know, once you put it on a page, there's that content, and if you want it changed, you would have to do it manually. It just sits there. A dynamic site is different in that instead of necessarily putting the content files directly on the website, you put them all in a database. And then when you go to the site and you click on a link or a button or whatever, the web server perceives that as a request. So it then looks into the database for what appropriate content would respond to the request, and then that's what it displays. So at a real high level, that's what you see on sites like Amazon.com or at Netflix, where it's making certain recommendations to you, but it makes different ones to your friend. It's because of this dynamic ability of displaying content from a database. So you might ask, well, then how does the system know what is appropriate content for my request? And the way that works is that all the content files have attributes associated with them, and we call these tags. Tags are really just a little text string. So, for example, there will be a transcript of this call later that will go on the site. If we were going to tag it, we might tag it GNSO, we might tag it communications, we might tag it transcript. And so later when the site is trying to figure out what to do with it, it could present it under any of those tags, just as an example. Finally, that list of tags that the site draws from to know where to put stuff is what we're talking about when we speak of a taxonomy. So the whole goal here is to get all the content from this static place that it's in right now. It has to be migrated to a database, which is what we're talking about when we refer to Drupal and MySQL. So basically, once we get the content over into this database, the site becomes very, very liquid. It's much easier to change and rearrange. So on the back end, this is a big goal because it makes, so if we decide, oh, I don't like the name of that menu, it's simple to change the name of the menu. If we say, I don't like what's on the menu or where that menu is, it all becomes very easy to change. So on the back end, the exciting progress is after we met with Mark, he has gotten a contractor involved who is already working on this back end change. And what we decided to do is get everything migrated, but on the front end, we don't have any design direction yet. So in order to not make that a bottleneck for the back end stuff, we're just going to migrate everything into the database and continue presenting the site exactly the way it looks right now. So to all the users, they won't even necessarily know that anything has happened, but we will be well positioned then to do whatever we want when, as a team, we decide how the site should be organized. So I'm happy to say that the contractors have already been working on this. They've been doing testing. They're going to use a script to move the content from the static side into the database, and they've been testing it to make sure it doesn't mess the site up or do anything unexpected. It's going really well, and we actually anticipate that this migration will be done before July is over. So the other aspect of it is then the taxonomy that's used to categorize articles, and Ken and I have taken a look at that, and we got the taxonomy from what the rest of the ICANN site uses. And for GNSO purposes, it's missing some key terms that we would probably want to use, like charter, stakeholder group. So Ken took a really good whack at it, and it's in review right now. We hope to show that to you folks also in July. So basically, the back-end stuff is in very good shape and can largely be done by the time this month is over.
Hey, Scott, it's Ken. You want to talk a little bit about the tagging operation that we'll go through after the content is moved?
Sure. We envision that as happening in August. As I mentioned, basically every content file on the site needs to have tags associated with it so the site knows how to present it. So once the taxonomy is finalized, staff will go through and in a big marathon session, we'll just apply tags to all the contents that's there now. And also, just to make sure I'm setting expectations appropriately, notice that what we're dealing with is literally gnso.icann.org, and what that means is not the wikis. The wikis don't actually live on the GNSO website, so you won't see a lot of change there in phase one of this website improvement.
So, Scott, this is Mason. Can you talk just, I mean, a bit? I know you're not doing the front end work yet, but as you do the migration on the back end and as you consider the changes to the front end, I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but what sorts of changes in user experience do you expect as a result of those efforts?
Great question. Here's where we're going with the front end. As you probably are aware, the whole ICANN website has been has a survey being conducted about its use by the Revere Group. So that, we think, will be helpful research. However, it's not focused specifically on the GNSO pages. So what I intend to do, actually, is interview heavy users of the GNSO website itself so that we are certain we understand what kinds of tasks people want to do and you know, what their goals are when they come to the site, what they feel is broken, what they feel works and we shouldn't mess with. So I'm collecting names right now for who we should interview, and certainly would love to hear ideas from this team. We're looking in particular for folks who have used the site a lot and can articulate what they do and don't like about using it so that we can learn what to improve. So if you have thoughts on who I should talk to about that, please feel free to email them to me. And we are in the process of gathering names right now. And of course, we'll also include Glenn and Gisela, you know, people who have to kind of run the site. So once we finish those interviews, which I envision happening before August is half over, then we will have the business requirements, we'll have the taxonomy, and we will have enough user data to figure out how people use the site and basically segment the user population by the roles they play or the things they're trying to do. And that's the foundation we'll use to decide where things go. I'm also looking forward to working closely with Chris and some of the others on the team who already also have web design experience, so we're certainly including you every step of the way here.
And Scott, you mentioned this to me earlier, this is Ken, that you were anticipating that those interviews would last in the neighborhood of 45 minutes to an hour or so. Just
sure.
Just to put that into just so folks have an understanding of what you're talking about.
That's correct. We don't use a frozen in stone script the way some surveys might, because what we're trying to do is pursue insights on how people use it and basically capture things we don't know. So we do have a list of questions that serve as talking points, and depending on who the user is, we may ask all of them, we may ask some of them. And I'm happy to circulate what those questions are if anybody's curious.
Okay. Anything? Yeah. Any questions or input here?
One last thing I'll mention is, you know, once we get all these foundational documents by which we'll make our design decision, at some point you basically have to just sit down and decide where stuff goes. And this is the exciting part about having it all in Drupal, because we can get a little prototype site up. We can let some of you folks interact with it and click on it and try it, you know, without it being the live site that the public sees, and you can give us feedback on what's working or what's not working. So
according to the plans we have so far, we think it's possible, and again, it depends on the scope of what the new site is, but we may have this prototype in early October. So I'm basically trying to see if we can have a site up to play with in time for Seoul.
That'd be great.
That's great. I know that, this is Steve, I know that Chris, who does have some web design experience, said that in actually designing the pages that he and his colleagues would take index cards and shuffle them around and move them here and move them there. Hopefully that's the fun part of the exercise, once you've got the business requirements done, that now you you actually see the fruits of the labor and you get to interact with it and play with it, as you suggest.
Okay, anything else for Scott? Ken, anything you want to add to that?
No. See, as I told you guys, Scott's got a lot of great ideas, and he's already, his footprints are all over this new structure, and I think we've got a tremendous opportunity now to actually get something visible that everybody can look at, you know, in time for Seoul. And that was dreamy at best before he came along. So welcome, Scott, and we're glad to have you contributing.
Sorry, did we just have someone else join?
Yes, Chris Chaplow just joined. Sorry I'm late, chaps.
That's all right, Chris. Thanks. Welcome to the ground.
Great, thank you.
We were just entertained by a presentation from Scott Pinzon, who's the new policy. Let me get this right, Scott, policy communications director. Is that right?
Yeah, the official title is Director of Policy Communications and Information Services.
There you go.
Can't wait to find out what that means.
It's a very impressive title. So Scott and Ken were just enlightening us on some of the things that Scott is heading up as a project in terms of how to reorganize the GNSO's website, all of which sound very productive and very useful, and he anticipates having something that can be reviewed, a prototype, in the fall. You said early October, right, Scott?
That is the goal.
Yeah.
And now that Chris has joined the call, I'd like to mention that I really admire his work on andalusia.com, and I've actually scheduled a call with Chris tomorrow so that we can put our heads together about how to move the GNSO website forward. I'm really looking forward to working with him.
That's great. Thank you. Yes, look forward to it.
So, Scott, I was looking at the current GNSO website as we were talking, and the way that it, I'm certainly not casting stones at anyone or anything, but the way the site is now, if I were new to ICANN or new to processes related to ICANN, and if I were directed to the GNSO website, I don't know that I would know where to begin or even how. You know, for a number of reasons. I mean, it's sort of jargon filled. The layout doesn't necessarily lead you to any intuitive conclusion about where you would find anything that's relevant to what you want to learn, et cetera. And one of the things that we've discussed as a team, and we did so particularly in Sydney, is one of the problems this team is trying to solve is, in order for ICANN and the GNSO to be more effective in its work, it needs broader participation from people who are unaware of how ICANN impacts their lives and certainly unaware about how to participate effectively in ICANN. So lots of our efforts are oriented toward trying to close that gap. And, you know, we don't want to get too tactical and use the website as a panacea for everything, but a big step toward resolving that problem would be a website that's more intuitively aligned with how people tend to navigate other sites. I know you used Amazon as an example, but that's a good example. You know, most people in the world, if they visit Amazon, they can figure out where to go to find things that are relevant. And I don't know that they can do that on this website.
This is Scott. Thank you for those comments. I certainly agree with them. And when we do this segmentation that I spoke of, that's basically the act of figuring out who comes to the site and what they want. And one of the segments will clearly be new users.
And I agree with you that in the current incarnation, there's not a hope for a new user.
Well, not a hope for a new user, and not only that, I would venture that even some veteran users are frustrated by the current site and where to go to find anything that's relevant. I mean, and it could be anything. It could be a document. It could be a comment page. Anything, you know, a set of bylaws for a constituency, what have you. It doesn't really matter. But chances are better. I would hazard a guess that chances are better that you'll do a Google search to try to find what you're looking for, rather than go to the GNSO website and start plowing through pages looking for what you need.
Yeah,
that's my two cents.
Yeah. Well, we are going to try hard to orient things around the tasks that users are trying to accomplish, as opposed to structuring it randomly or even by the structures of ICANN. I don't think you should have to understand, you know, who reports to what and what sub-team is part of what in order to define something on the GNSO site.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely take a whack at it.
Okay, good. Any other comments or thoughts for Scott and Ken on this issue? All right. Well, Scott, listen, thanks very much for your update. You're welcome to stay for the rest of this call. There's really nothing off limits, and we'd welcome your participation if you'd like to stay, but if you need to go, no problem as well.
That's very gracious of you. I would like to stick around.
Good, because Helen is Beanick or not here, so there's not a lot to add there, and I don't have much of an update on my task, so you're not going to have to stick around a whole lot longer. But I want to ask the team if they've had a chance to review the task list that Zbinek put together and asked me to distribute with the agenda.
I did get a chance to look at it. This is Steve.
Yeah.
And I was a little confused by it in that I thought it had more to do with translation than some of these other issues, which seem to cross over as well with the website issue.
Yeah, Mason speaking here. I agree with you, Steve. There's it seemed to be more a summary of the broader team's work than it is anything in terms of a specific function that Sabina and Helen were talking about.
Right.
So unfortunately, they're not on the call, but I was going to ask for clarification on that as well. So I'm glad you brought that out. So maybe
maybe it should be a review of what exactly their sub-team's task was. Do you have that handy?
I don't have it handy right here, but if I remember right, much of it was focused, well, initially early on, it was focused on a couple of areas. One was how to improve participation in GNSO processes by widening the potential user community, specifically improving translation functions, and also improving document management functions on within the GNSO process.
Okay.
So,
maybe the title to their report is an accurate statement of their task, and that is ways by which the GNSO can improve its abilities to obtain meaningful feedback from the global internet community.
Mm-hmm.
That. I think that probably is a good charter, and where it bled into the broader team's work, the easier access to websites and the feedback websites and the internet acronyms. I don't know. Maybe I was being too particular about that, and I didn't see as much of what I was expecting on the translation front, but the titles of the things that they did provide feedback on are relevant to that broader purpose of obtaining meaningful feedback from the global internet community. I guess one is you improve and surmount language barriers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one. And then what else? How do you draw the rest of them in? Access to websites, feedback, help them translate the acronyms. search system. I guess these are good brainstorming issues, and maybe with more fleshing out, they're a starting point rather than an end product.
No, I agree with you. I think we're looking for more specificity on the two areas that they agreed to take on. So, Ken or Julie, do you have an update on anything that Zbigniew or Helen have done behind the scenes since our last discussion?
Mason, this is Julie. I do know that they, you know, had been planning on meeting in Sydney. I don't know if they did so. Relevant to their task, I just was looking at the board recommendations related to their subtask, I should say. And I think I agree with you. There's perhaps a need for more specificity. The items that they're dealing with that relate to the poor ability to solicit meaningful feedback are to prepare a revised process for gathering and addressing public comment on policy issues, to take into account developments in technology that facilitate community interaction, to prepare a translation plan for documents associated with policy development, recommend ways to monitor and improve effectiveness, and author documents explaining importance and significance of issues. And those are what we had listed in the checklist, which is linked to the wiki. And perhaps as a next step, we could, when they're on one of the calls, talk to them about, maybe some more specifics they have that address, they may have developed that address each of those.
Right. Yeah, I think at this stage that's probably what we're looking for. And I will contact them offline from this call and see if they have an update between Sydney and now, and see if we need. I don't want to upend the schedule for anybody, but if it's a problem for them to attend the call at this time of day, then we should find a time where they can be here so that we can we can move that issue forward.
Yeah, Chris here. Thanks, Julie, for reminding us of all that. That's sort of quite wide, isn't it? It's not just language, and we're perhaps slipping a bit on this one. So I think if you can, Mason, and see if you need any help or what we can do. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, Julie, that was very helpful. All right. I'm sorry, Ken, did you have something you wanted to add there?
Oh, this is Scott. I would like to make one comment, if I may.
Yes, please.
Their document calls for a dictionary of often used acronyms and ICANN terms.
Yep.
And those things exist on the GNSO website currently. If you get a chance, I would like more color from them on what they have in mind. But I would also like to mention I have looked at the existing acronym and glossary resources, and they're out of date. They're missing basic terms like constituency and PEDNR and others. So I am investigating to see what it'll take to get that updated and make them more useful resources.
Well, that's good to know. If you wouldn't mind coordinating with Zbigniew and Helen, and if you need their contact information, just let me know. Ken or Julie have it as well, I'm sure. But you might just let them know that you're doing that so that you're not working in parallel without each other's knowledge.
Great idea. Thank you.
This is Ken. A quick update, too. During a meeting in Sydney with the GNSO Council, Liz Gaster and some others talked that there actually is already a glossary update process underway. So, Scott, you'll definitely want to plug in with Liz. And then there was some council discussion of maybe turning that whole effort into a Wikipedia solution set so that the community would keep the glossary up and people would contribute and add terms and add definitions as they needed instead of making it a staff function. So that's also being was bantied around in Sydney. So you'll know.
No, that's right, Ken. I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for reminding us of that because, I think we talked about that in Sydney, that if there is work that can be transferred to the community that the community would be willing to take on, then not only would that relieve you of some of your workload, but it would probably do a lot more to ensure the currency of that data, right?
Because
terms could be added as they enter the lexicon inside the community itself.
Exactly. And of course, it would be certainly no problem to find a link on the GNSO site to the Wikipedia entry so that nobody had to remember where it was, you know.
Right, because Scott's going to do such a great job with the how the site's going to look, right? Okay, very good.
For everyone's information, I did coordinate with Liz because I had heard that same thing, that she was working on some kind of initiative to help with the glossary, and she told me that there were some terms that were entered. It was a one-off effort, and there is not actually anything ongoing. So that Wikipedia idea is the main thing floating around right now.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Good. Thanks for that clarification. Sounds like you're on the case. Sounds like that Zbynek and Helen have it top of mind as well. Sounds like there's a decent potential solution in front of the community if we could just work together to put all those things together so that we're not working in three different directions at one time. I think that we'll be in good shape. Okay, anything else on task three? All right, I'm afraid I have no update for you on task four, but I hope to have one for you by our next call. In fact, I anticipate that I will. So let me ask if there is any other business.
Mason, this is Julie. It's not business per se, but I've been letting my various work teams know that, as you know, I've been consulting with ICANN, but as of today, ICANN has hired me full-time.
Oh, all right. Excellent news.
So I'm very happy about that. I'm going to be continuing to support the GNSO policy process, so I'll be continuing to support this team and the two others that I'm working with, as well as, you know, other policy work. But in addition, I will be the director for ESAC support, so I'll be supporting Steve Crocker and his Security and Stability Advisory Committee. So I'll be doing a lot of work there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure, and very interesting. So anyway, just wanted to let you all know that, and then I'm really glad to be able to take on some more interesting things to do at ICANN.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic news.
Great.
Thanks. All right. Well, I suppose we could end on that up note, unless there's anything else this team needs to cover right now. Oh, Ken, you're going to spoil the party, aren't you?
No. I will, though. Just to Julie has an ICANN.org email address that I'm not sure if everybody has. I don't know, Julie, maybe you can send that around to everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to actually. I've been waiting because I don't have my ICANN computer yet, and so I'm really only able to access the email via a web Outlook right now. And I'm going to Marina Del Rey tomorrow, so hopefully I'll have all my equipment at that point. And then I'm going to send around a blast to everybody to let them know my new address, which is fairly obviously going to be julie.headland@icon.org, because they're all the same. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
Where are you physically located?
I'm physically located in Arlington, Virginia. So if need be, I can use the offices in D.C. for meetings, but I will be working out of the house, which is great.
Great.
So, and then, of course, just going to Marina Del Rey on occasion when, for meetings when they need me. So.
Okay, great. Well, when you do get your all your equipment up and active, if you just ping us with your the team with your updated contact, that'd be great.
I will do that. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Anything else? Okay, folks. Our next meeting then is I have it down for August 5th, same time, same channel. Anything else we need to cover today?
No.
All right. Thanks very much, everybody. We're adjourned, and we'll talk in 2 weeks, if not sooner.
Very good. Thank you.
Everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.